The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, welcome to a Thursday. The good thing about Thursday is that tomorrow's Friday. Just pointing that out. I know it's hard these days because the days kind of run together, and so we take our, you know, thrills from small pleasures, such as they are, like the weekend approaching. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live on the Progressive Voices Network, NicoleSandler.com, and all my various streams, along with streaming video on Periscope and Facebook Live, but still no YouTube. And just so you know, I am going through everything possible to try to get my streaming capabilities restored on YouTube. And the bottom line is, they could have me suspended until mid-October, because allegedly my violation of playing 20 seconds of a Don Henley song, God forbid, it warrants me being suspended from live streaming for 90 days. But there you go. Whatever. Periscope works beautifully, as does Facebook Live. The streams are all embedded on the Listen Live page at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live, just as it sounds. Anyway, we have some breaking news today. And in what's news, you know, that I record early in the morning, I had an item about New York's Attorney General, Letitia James, who let us know yesterday that she'd be making an announcement with national ramifications today, this morning at 11:30. And I had commented in my What's News segment that I didn't know if it was related to the story about Cy Vance, the district attorney of Manhattan, who had subpoenaed Deutsche Bank for Trump's financial records. And we learned yesterday that they complied. And I said, maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know. Well, now we know. And it had nothing to do with those Southern District of New York cases pending against Trump. Instead, well, what was this about, Letitia James?
Just a few minutes ago, my office filed a lawsuit against the National Rifle Association.
Woohoo!
To dissolve the organization in its entirety for years of self-dealing and illegal conduct that violate New York's charities law and undermine its own mission.
Okay, so a lawsuit to dissolve the NRA. So she tweeted, I mean, the filing itself is like hundreds of pages. And obviously, I didn't have time to go through that. In comes Twitter. And Letitia James, her Twitter account is New York Attorney General. I forget. I'll put it on my blog today. Anyway, she tweeted from her official Attorney General Twitter account, breaking, I filed a lawsuit to dissolve the National Rifle Association for years of self-dealing and illegal conduct. The NRA is fraught with fraud and abuse. No organization is above the law. And then she continued, it's a thread. We are seeking to dissolve the NRA for years of self-dealing and illegal conduct that violate New York's charities laws and undermine its own mission. The NRA diverted millions of dollars away from its charitable mission for personal use by senior leadership. Our lawsuit charges the NRA as a whole, and four senior leaders, including Wayne LaPierre, with failing to manage the NRA's funds and failing to follow numerous state and federal laws. These actions contributed to the loss of more than $64 million in just 3 years for the NRA. She continues, the four defendants failed to fulfill their fiduciary duty to the NRA and used millions upon millions from NRA reserves for personal use, including trips for them and their families to the Bahamas and safaris in Africa, private jets, expensive meals, and other private travel. They and board members at the NRA abused their power and illegally diverted or facilitated the diversions of tens of millions of dollars from the NRA. The NRA has failed to carry out its stated mission for many years and instead operated as a breeding ground for greed and abuse. In New York, we have a set of laws that every individual and entity must be held accountable to, regardless of its size, influence, power, or wealth. No one is above the law, not even the NRA, one of the most powerful organizations in this country. So you go, Letitia James, decommission, strip down, dismantle the NRA. And to celebrate that idea, well, here's the NRA's theme song. Everybody sing along.
Well, would you like to blow away your dog, friends, kids, or maybe your wife? Well, go to the convention hall where a license and a gun is easy to buy. That's right. NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time. Well, go buy a gun, throw it in the trunk, pop a top of suds, get good and drunk. Alright. In a ball or a town where there's people all around, you just open up and mow them down. That's right. NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time. Come on, everybody, exercise your right. Then you can be playing God, playing God, playing God, playing God, playing God, playing God, take the human life. Well, go teach your son how to use a gun. Show him some down-home Christian fun. That's right. Praise the Lord. You pack it in his lunch so when things get rough, he can leave everybody in a pool of blood. All right. Now your son can chew like a man because NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time. Yeehaw! NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time.
Haha, the genius of Boca Brittany Summers. Yeah, NRA, get yourself a gun, have a good time. Yeah, yeah. Let's hope. Let's hope. All right. It is Thursday, so that means Howie Klein will be along today. And we have good news to share because Tuesday, a number of states held their primaries, and we've got some good results to share with you. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I'll save that for Howie and let him take some of the credit for Cori Bush. Yeah. But we do have lots of news to get to, so let's do it to it.
I read the news today.
Oh boy. And there was more breaking news. In fact, Donald Trump took his campaign on the road to Ohio today. On the taxpayer's dollar, mind you, and not dime anymore. I used to say on the taxpayer's dime, but it costs a whole lot more than a dime these days to take his whole entourage and Air Force One to another city to have a campaign event. But these are not billed as campaign events. These are billed as official White House events, and they are not. So I don't know who needs to step in and do something, but somebody in the Democratic leadership in Congress, do something already. I know it's up to us. It's up to us on November 3rd, but he is flaunting. He's thumbing his nose at every norm, look, now he's saying he wants to do his nomination acceptance speech from the South Lawn of the White House. No, but anyway, maybe we'll get to that. I digress. So Trump today is traveling on our dollar, on our money, and our time, and he's not supposed to be making political speeches, like saying things like, Joe Biden is against God. really, I couldn't make this up. And you know, I'm not a religious person, but I know that Joe Biden is. He is a Catholic. It's one of my problems with him. It's with all politicians who are religious, who take their personal beliefs to the job with them. For instance, there is a congresswoman from Ohio, and her name, and I'm drawing a blank on it. It's the one who was, oh man, she beat Dennis Kucinich. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking about it. She's normally a decent Democrat, except she's a practicing Catholic. And because she is, she's against a woman's right to choose. And I'm sorry, it's one thing to have personal beliefs, but when you're elected to Congress to represent a constituency, you represent the constituency. It's not about your personal beliefs. And so, oh God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. I can see her. Again, it'll come to me when I'm not thinking of it. I just hate when this happens. But anyway, Joe Biden, at least, is personally against abortion, but he understands that it's not about his feelings. It's about a woman's right to choose. So at least there's that. But I hate the way his religion infringes. So it makes it triply offensive. It being what Donald Trump said today. Marcy Kaptur, thank you very much. That's exactly who it was. Anyway, so this is just one of many offensive things that Donald Trump said today. And this, he actually said at the airport on the tarmac before he went to the Maytag factory where he toured wearing a mask. Oh, my goodness. But he said this at the airport.
He's following the radical left.
He's talking
agenda.
About Biden.
Take away your guns. Destroy your Second Amendment.
What?
No religion, no anything.
What?
Hurt the Bible, hurt God. He's against God.
He's against God.
Guns. He's against energy, our kind of energy.
He's against God. He's against guns. He's against our kind of energy. What would that be? Nukes? Fracking? First of all, I don't think he is, but that said, he's against God. Donald Trump, look in the fucking mirror, Mr. 2 Corinthians. Again, I'm an atheist Jew and I'm more of a Christian than Donald Trump. But anyway, the point I was about to make is Donald Trump gets to Ohio. The governor, Mike DeWine, was supposed to meet him on the tarmac, but oops, it happened again. Another Trumper got the COVID. Sorry, I'm not much of a singer. And I actually went and listened to the Britney Spears song to see if there was an instrumental that I could just, you know, sing along to. And no, she auto-tunes her way through the whole thing. So there you go. Forgive me, please. I just thought I'd share with you another little tune. So Governor Mike DeWine tested positive for the COVID. Yeah. So the safeguards with testing set up to protect the president did the trick, but Donald Trump doesn't want you to have access to that kind of testing. People who are going to be near him get tested automatically. So, you know, if you're infected like Mike DeWine, you don't get to see the Donald. No, but you, it sounded fine. Thank you. Testing is good enough for him and people who may come near him, but not good enough for your kids to go back to school. It's opposite world. That's all it is. By the way, Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday spoke out again, thankfully, and said it's quite possible the virus never truly goes away and the world will just get better at managing it with vaccines. Oh, please. I believe in vaccines, but I believe in a vaccine after it's been thoroughly researched and tested. If Donald Trump forces someone into releasing a vaccine by November 3rd, which was his latest today, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be the guinea pig to take that vaccine. I'll just sit here in my house and be a shut-in, I guess. That's what you do when you get old anyway, right? Anyway, so I'm here in Florida, and once again, my state of Florida is making headlines. This time, it's because we are now the second state to pass 500,000 COVID-19 infections.
We're number one! one, damn it!
Well, actually, we're number two, but, you know, to California, but we try harder. Anyway, on to serious stuff. Lebanese officials have pointed to the possible cause of the massive explosion that tore through Beirut. And it's just, it's stunning. 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate. And I mentioned this yesterday because Timothy McVeigh had 2 tons of ammonium nitrate that he used to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City back in the early 90s. 2 tons. This is 2,000 times. My math sucks. 2,750 tons. And it could be traced back to a massive shipment of agricultural fertilizer that had been stored at the at the port of Beirut for years. Now they're saying that at least 135 people are dead, many more missing, more than 5,000 are injured. These numbers are meaningless right now because they are going to multiply exponentially in the coming days and weeks. I feel my heart goes out to the people of Lebanon, the people of Beirut, whose lives were pretty bad before this happened. It's just, you know, the governor of Beirut says about 300,000 people couldn't return to their homes after the blast, and at least half of the city's population now have homes that are, quote, unlivable for the foreseeable future. And the idiot in chief continues to speculate from the podium in the White House briefing room that it still could have been an attack. What? That's what he said. It still could have been an attack. I don't think I pulled that clip, which is just as well. Anyway, somebody just called in. Hi, who's this from the 614 area code?
Hey, this is Melody, a big fan and supporter.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not usually able to call in, but I'll make it quick. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
And I'm from Ohio.
Oh.
And so I was working this morning and listening to you know, new stuff when I'm working. And I heard about him getting COVID, and then I ended up having to go get a COVID test today at the last minute.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you'd be interested in my experience.
Absolutely. But you didn't get your results immediately like Governor DeWine did, I'm guessing.
I did.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
I found my customer contacted me today and said, hey, she has it. And I came into contact with her a little bit last week, but I'm real careful with my mask.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get a test right away because I have other customers and I can't risk spreading this to my older customers.
Sure.
So anyway, she sent me the information and there was a clinic, like a walk-in urgent care place down the road. And I walked in. Luckily, the place was empty and I got right in and I ended up being able to make a co-payment with my insurance for $25. But if I hadn't had insurance, it would have cost me $155.
Wow. Okay.
And I couldn't have paid that today.
Right.
So, and I had to fake like I had a symptom to get my insurance to pay for it.
Oh, my God.
Just saying, hey, your customer, your patient just told me she has this infection, so I need to get tested because I come into contact with elderly people all the time.
Right.
And they weren't going to pay for it until I was like, okay, here, I'm coughing. And they laughed at me and said, okay. And then they paid it.
Wow.
And they knew I was like, are you serious?
That's
but
insane.
I got my results in 10 minutes.
Oh, that's great, though. So I'm guessing you're negative?
It's an easy little swab in my nose. Yes. Thank you, God.
Yes.
I'm negative.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because that's my job. That's my business. I'm self-employed like you are.
What do you do?
And if I clean houses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
so,
and
yeah,
Tom Garrett.
Down. I can't.
Tom in the Facebook chat room said, I thought it was free. So did I. I thought testing was supposed to be free.
Oh,
it's supposed to be covered.
Oh, wait a minute. I think the guy said that that was a private place. So if it was government. It might have been free, but I don't have time. I happen to have the afternoon off. He was right down the road. I have work tomorrow. I can't miss, and
right.
I can't risk giving these people. They're older. They have comorbidities. I just can't do it.
I hear you.
I was like, okay, boom, I got to go, and I went.
Well, good for you for being responsible.
Lucky to have insurance.
Right. And
but
thankfully
I couldn't
have
done it without insurance.
Right. No, I hear you. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Well, thank you for calling and letting us know. You were able to get in and get a test, and thank goodness you're negative. And thank you for being careful.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for
calling.
I'll be watching you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
The phone lines are always open here, by the way, especially in the first half hour of the show when I'm doing news and it's just you and me. If you have something you want to let us know about, like that test or a question, feel free to call. I may or I may not answer it. I don't have anyone screening calls. It's just you and me. All right. There is more news. But you know what? Let's take a quick break because Howie Klein's coming up and I need to take care of business for our friends at the Progressive Voices Network. So quick timeout and back in just a moment. Oops. Hold on. I got the wrong thing on my thing, because to trigger a spot on the Progressive Voices Network is not as easy as just pushing a button. It's really a pain in the ass, but that's okay, because if it helps, hopefully Progressive Voices make a couple of bucks and keep us going, then it's worth it, she says as she stalls to try to get the right message here. Okay, we'll be right back on the Progressive Voices Network. Okay, so they're in spots. While they're in spots, I'm gonna give you a treat. I rail all the time against not so much against the Lincoln Project. I appreciate what they're doing. I'm glad they're on our side because they're really good at what they do. But what I have a problem with is the whole never Trumper community, as it were, these disaffected Republicans. And I'm glad they're smarter than to embrace Trump and all his idiocy and insanity. But keep in mind, they are Republicans. S.E. Cupp has a column in the New York Daily News today saying, I will not vote. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I will vote for Joe Biden, but it depends on who he picks for VP. And basically her thing was, Trump is horrible. Last time I wrote in someone, this time I would vote for Biden, but I won't if he picks Susan Rice. I will if he picks Kamala Harris, but I won't vote for him if he picks Susan Rice. Well, you know what? Then fuck you, S.E. Cupp. Take your vote and shove it up your Republican ass. Because if it's going to come down to that, then you're an idiot. If you don't see how important it is to get Donald Trump out of there, and then we can fight our battles in a normal way. And so this is what pisses me off about the Lincoln Project people, because I don't trust them because they are Republicans. Again, I'll take their help. But just know, the minute we get Donald Trump out of there, they're going to be fighting to cut your Social Security, to kill off Medicare, to go, get rid of what they call entitlements, because it's not like you pay into them your whole lives or anything, God forbid. So the Lincoln Project is getting all these accolades heaped on them, and rightly so. They're doing good work, but there are so many other groups making great videos, and one that I've been particularly enjoying is called the Midas Touch. The Midas Touch are actually three brothers. And they're going to be our guests tomorrow. All three of them, Ben, Brett, and Jordan. The three of them are going to join us here to give them the recognition they deserve, because these are just three brothers who started doing this as a lark during the quarantine time. And now they're huge. And so this morning they released a new video. And I got to tell you, I tweeted it out. I've gotten more retweets on that video than I've gotten on pretty much anything in a long time. So I thought right now I would share this video with you. It's the brand new one from the Midas Touch. Here we go.
Donors. Times are tough. After destroying the economy, the
U.S. economy contracted a record-shattering 32.9% last quarter,
causing massive death.
More than 150,000 people have died of the coronavirus in the U.S.
Trump is begging you for money. And begging. And begging. For money to support Don Jr.'s girlfriend.
Ooh.
And Eric's wife.
Uh-huh.
His hotels. Ferraris for his campaign managers. Golden toilets for Jared and Ivanka. He defrauded a cancer charity.
Oh, he did.
He bankrupted casinos.
He did.
His companies. A fake university. Our country. Don't be Don's next con.
Modest
Touch is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Don't be Don's next con.
This is a huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
All right. Well, we've got Howie Klein coming up in a few minutes. It is Thursday, but today's a good Thursday. We've got some stuff to celebrate. Let me just quickly go through the rest of my news and see what else. Oh, this is a good story. The White House got dinged on social media yesterday. Facebook removed a video posted on Donald Trump's personal page from his appearance on Fox and Fiends yesterday morning, in which he falsely claimed that
this thing's going away. It will go away like things go away. And my view is that schools should be open. If you look at children, children are almost, and I would almost say definitely, but almost immune from this disease.
I would almost say definitely, but almost immune from this disease. Well, Trump posted that video. Facebook took it down. Twitter said it temporarily restricted the Trump campaign account after it shared the tweet with that same false video and false claim. And YouTube took it down too, saying it violated its coronavirus misinformation policy. And then this morning, they covered the story on Fox and Fiends, and their response was not, oh, okay, that's inaccurate, that's bad information. Instead, it was disbelief.
Incredible. All of those great doctors in Silicon Valley will decide what is right and what is wrong.
So much for Mark Zuckerberg saying he wouldn't be the arbiter of truth.
Right.
Out the window.
As well as who's running Twitter these days.
Excuse me, those doctors in Silicon Valley? What about Donald Trump? Where did he get his medical degree from? Because he knows, he hears these things, people tell him, but he's not listening to his experts, to Dr. Fauci. And look, I'm not crazy about Debbie Birx, but he's not listening to her either. But Fox and Fiends can bitch about the doctors in Silicon Valley. You know what? Fox and Fiends, I got a song for you.
When their eyes...
Oops, that's the wrong one. Oh, no. Oh, no. Where's my song? I got it. Here we go. Okay. So there's all that. Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, one more thing. So Joe Biden now made it official and said he will not appear at the upcoming Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee due to concerns about the coronavirus. And it's a virtual convention anyway. Biden said he'll instead accept the party's nomination for president and deliver his speech from Delaware, where he lives. So Donald Trump, who canceled the Jacksonville portion of the Republican convention, says he may give his speech from the White House, as I mentioned before. And Republicans even are going, no, that's not what we do. We don't do that. John Thune, Republican, I think he's like the third in line on the Republican Senate side. And he even said, is that even legal? And Nancy Pelosi is not having any of it.
He can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, you would be very surprised, I think, at the fact that when you're at the White House, you're talking about policy and the rest. You're not talking politics. You don't have political events in the Capitol. You don't have political events in the White House. Once again, he is diverting attention from the fact that people are dying in our country. Children are hungry. Families are fearing eviction. Workers are concerned about getting money into their pockets. The state and local governments are suffering from the virus and the rest. And we're talking about whether he can have a political event at the White House.
Amazing. Yes. And no, you shouldn't be able to have a political event at the White House. Just saying. One last thing before we get Howie Klein on the line. Donald Trump is a moron. He can't read, But he reads the teleprompter like he thinks he's great at it, but he doesn't know how to read. Case in point?
Yosemites.
What? So our pal Boca Brittany Summers has a little song for us. Where did I put it? I think it's right here.
When their eyes widen in amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky. When they gaze upon
your semites. Thank you, Boca. One last thing before we get Howie on the line, and that is that Twitter also suspended accounts that were pointing out Donald Trump's lies, in quotes, saying, here's what he said in this video, and they were being flagged and taken down, too. I hope they got it all figured out. All right, now, with no further ado, let me get Howie Klein on the line, shall we? Is anybody mixing up the Dirty Debbies?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for Woo-hoo! All this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, I just had this great epiphany, probably as you were dialing my phone.
Yeah.
There's an article by someone who I respect in terms of, as much as you can respect someone who is a kind of a centrist beltway guy, but Norm Ornstein, and he's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
And he just described the Republican Party that he grew up he's a Democrat, but he admired some Republicans, and he had some good things to say about the party as a mainstream conservative party. And he was going on and on about it, and then he started describing what it was before Trump and yearning for it and saying there's nothing in sight. And I looked at his description, and he had just described the Democratic Party
right.
perfectly.
that's kind of sad.
I'm glad the phone rang.
Nicole to the rescue, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
I timed my my pie baking. I have two pies in the oven, and I timed it the pies to come out just when our little segment ends.
Ooh. What kind of pies are they?
Well, one of them is an apple pie, kind of a French apple pie.
Mm.
And the other one is mostly, it's kind of a mixed thing, but it's mostly a date pie.
A date pie. Ooh, okay.
It's date and apricots and a few other things too.
Ooh.
But the smell is just driving me insane. You know, the smell of like rum and vanilla.
Yeah.
And all these like amazing, and nutmeg, all these like great flavors.
Nice.
And it's like all over the house right now.
Again, I'm getting into the cooking thing too, as we've discussed. I'm going to put up a page with the recipes that I found because we're going vegan. I mean, it's not a militant thing. Occasionally, we'll break ranks and eat something animal, but for the most part, we're eating vegan. And I started getting a vegetable, fruit and vegetable deliveries from one of the companies. There's a number of them out there. There's one called Misfit Foods or something. I'm getting deliveries from a place, and they're not paying me. I pay for it, called Hungry Harvest. And it's, I guess, you know, some fruits and vegetables that don't make the grocery store cut because they look a little funny. They're misshapen, or they maybe have some scars, or they have too much of them. So they sell them off like this, and it's all organic, and they're delivered once a week, and every Wednesday morning I get to go in and edit the selections from the list of what they have. And so it's making me like, okay, so today I had a bunch of spinach last night, so I made something with the spinach. So it's making me sort of, we had summer squash, a whole bunch of it a couple of weeks ago, and I came up with this summer squash casserole that turned out to be really good. So it's making me, you know, broaden my horizons and try to use some mostly vegetables that I never would have thought of using before.
Fantastic. That is so great to do that. As you know, I was a chef at one time, and discovering new vegetables and new mm-hmm. spices and things like that are just such a joy. Did I turn you on to the this online store that used to be a real store that I used to go to, but it's an online store now called the Spice Station.
No.
So you can find it by going to spicestation.com or Spice Station Silver Lake. I'm not sure what the URL is, but I think it's just spicestation.com, and they have such an amazing array of incredible spices, and you could spend hours just looking at the things that they have. I mean, you know, different kinds of peppers and different kinds of salt, even, not to mention much more exotic things.
Uh-huh.
And it's good quality and very, very, very inexpensive.
Cool.
And, you know, great service. They obviously they ship it really well, and it just the smells of the various spices inspires me to cook more and cook differently and try different things.
Nice. I will definitely check it out. Absolutely. The Spice Station. Okay.
Yes. I hope our listeners do too. It was, even though I was talking to you, I was talking to
of
them
course.
As well.
Oh, of course. You know, I learned all about, in the last few months, nutritional yeast. Who knew? Can't live without it now. So, Howie Klein, enough food talk for now, anyway, because we have good news to celebrate. Tuesday was a pretty good day, huh? Especially for Missouri.
Yeah, Tuesday was a very good day. I mean, when you talk about the state of Missouri, it was a good day because they did something that the government that they always elect and reelect, i.e. Republicans, lost. There were Democrats who were trying to get an expansion of Medicare under Obamacare since, you know, for 10 years they've been trying to do it, and the governors and state legislature have rejected it and rejected and rejected it, just like they do in Florida. And the people went around and with petitions and got a constitutional amendment referendum, and that won. And I want to tell you something, because I know you're going to go there next anyway, that part of the reason why it won, because there was a giant turnout in St. Louis. Now, St. Louis is both a city, and then there's a much larger area called St. Louis County. And so they're two separate things. And,
okay.
and the turnout in those two entities were so huge, and there was a reason why. One was because of this constitutional amendment. So that mm-hmm. was part of the reason why there was such a big turnout. But the other was because the Democrats had an incredible candidate in a primary against a corrupt, old-time Democratic incumbent who he and his father had you know, Lacey Clay,
yep.
Bill Lacey Clay Jr. and Bill Lacey Clay Sr. had been in there for decades and decades.
Yep.
And Cori Bush ran in 2018. She didn't do particularly well. I think she if I remember correctly, she got 36 or 37%. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't like it wasn't like some of the people who we know are going to win this time, you know, who got like 48% or 45%. She had, I think it was 37%. Not bad.
No.
Great. Mm-hmm. And yet this time, she ran a kick-ass campaign. She was inspirational. And so many people came out to vote for her that is what dragged the constitutional amendment over the finish line. It was fairly close. It wasn't.
Well, it was 52 to 48 for the amendment. Yeah.
I think it in the end it wound up doing a little bit better than that, but it was still close enough. And but because of the turnout in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, in both of those entities, because of the turnout, that's what pushed it over the top. So it sort of worked both ways. She was helped by the amendment being on the ballot, and the amendment was helped by her. She's a really inspiring candidate, and she's going to be a great member of Congress. And of course, she is automatically there are no longer just four members of the squad. I mean, I think the squad will get bigger by several people,
right.
But there's no question that Cori Bush is a member of the squad.
Yes, although none of the other members of the squad endorsed her.
I don't know about that. I mean, you're
that's
not
what I read today.
Who's told me that? But I because it is going around.
Yeah.
But AOC endorsed her.
Did she? Because what I read said that she didn't. Okay, good. Then what I read was wrong. I believe you over the fake news. Howie Klein. So this is exciting. Very exciting. And again, Cori Bush is somebody that Blue America had been working with. Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Both times, but, mm-hmm. Especially more this time. And also, I might add, she was also endorsed by Bernie very strongly.
She was.
And the first person who came out for her this time, so not in 2018, but in 2020, the first person who just, went crazy to get her onto the radar was Ro Khanna.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Good.
Yeah, she's going to be a real formidable member of Congress. This is a really smart woman who's determined. She's a working class person.
Yep.
She's not like some, wealthy elite.
Right.
Not by a long shot. And that's not where her aspirations lie either.
Right.
And she is going to, my first thought was Nancy Pelosi must be saying, oy vey.
Right. Probably. But the other thing about Cori Bush is she came up through Ferguson. I mean, that was her, I guess that's what got her involved. And
partially.
Yeah.
He's had other people run against him, including a state senator who was very involved with Ferguson, too. It wasn't enough to do it, although each thing helps the next. But she had been also running in 2018, and the Ferguson connection wasn't enough either. She's very, very, very much a part of the Green New Deal thing.
All right,
that's a big,
that's
big deal
too.
For her.
Right.
And that's one of the things that she was running on. Yeah, I mean, obviously she was running on Medicare for All and better education and things like that. But the Green New Deal was a very big thing for her as well. She always wanted to talk about it. And it was just right time, right place.
Good.
Good news for everybody. The only good news on Tuesday. I mean, Cori Bush is going to be in Congress is good news, not just for her own district. Of course, it is good news for her district, but it's also good news for America to have someone of her quality in Congress. Really, really great.
Absolutely. And now the other thing is the media, I'm talking about them as a monolith, and we know it's not, but they were pushing this narrative that Rashida Tlaib was in trouble and she was going to have a really tough race against Brenda Jones. And, Rashida Tlaib beat her with a 2-1 landslide, huh?
Yeah. So the thing is this. AIPAC is one of the most negative forces in American
I
politics.
Agree.
They,
yes.
They are the worst. There's,
yep.
there's very, very few, they're up there with the NRA, for example. They're, mm-hmm. That's how bad AIPAC is.
Yep.
And when a black Democrat doesn't pledge allegiance to Israel, they just go all in with just one thing, kill, kill, kill. And
yep.
they've been successful at it before. I mean, they did it to Cynthia Kinney.
Uh-huh.
They did it to, what was his name again? A guy who had been a longtime Democrat in Alabama in the seat that there's now a very conservative Democrat. He was pro-Palestinian I shouldn't say pro-Palestinian. He was pro-equality.
Right.
Is what he was.
Gotcha.
He wanted the Palestinians and the Israelis both to have an even shot. And they went after him, and they defeated him. And so that, and they decided to do the same thing with Ilhan and the same thing with Rashida. Mm-hmm. Now they're working on Ilhan. They've put millions of dollars into a known opponent. But with Rashida, they were started to do it, and then they realized that the person that was running against Rashida, although a corporate pawn, was also anti-Israel. To some extent. I shouldn't even say anti-Israel, but was not, an AIPAC type person, didn't admire Netanyahu. That, you know, she was not that kind of person. So they pulled back.
Gotcha.
And they didn't help her. So the media spin that you were just referring to is real, but it's a little dated. I mean, they're writing, you know, a few days ago about something that was already over, like, over a month ago.
Wow. And Rashid, Ilhan Omar, heard that the primary day in Minnesota is Tuesday. Tuesday, it's also Connecticut, Georgia, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wisconsin, if my notes are correct. But they are going full bore trying to push Ilhan Omar out. So it'll be interesting. Are you hearing anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am expecting that she'll probably, you can't really make a prediction about a primary, one because of all the, it's all about the turnout, who's going to, like, vote and who's going to vote absentee and all that.
Yep.
But if I had to guess, I would guess that Ilhan will wind up with something like 70% of the vote.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Extremely admired in that district.
Good.
I mean, and when I say 70, I'm being somewhat conservative.
Wow. Okay, good. I can't wait to see it. And you know, again, push back on this media narrative because they like they like to push their, you know, horse race picks. It's crazy. Before we leave Michigan, there was another progressive state legislator elected over a, as you describe, a garden variety Democrat, John Hoadley.
Yeah, John Hoadley has made a name for himself in the state legislature. He represents Kalamazoo.
Uh-huh.
Is it Kalamazoo? I think it's Kalamazoo. Or maybe it's a different city. I might have that wrong. But he's gay. He's got a husband. He's proud of that. He doesn't hide it. It's, it's not an issue. It just is, and people accept it. And he's running. He ran a very, very strong primary. He beat that candidate. I was surprised it was somewhat closer than I thought it would be, but he did beat her. And he is now in a good position to take on
Fred Upton.
Now, Fred Upton comes from the Whirlpool family.
Uh-huh.
He never worked a day in his life. He never earned any kind of a real living. He just, you know, got everything on a silver spoon. And he is long overdue to be retired. And I think that Hoadley is the guy to do it.
Cool. I was in D.C. Many years ago for some lobby day. It was an event, and I went to Fred Upton's office with Marcy Wheeler, who lives in the district, and she wanted to take him on so badly, and so I know she's probably just overjoyed today. I'm guessing. I haven't spoken to her in a while, but anyway, I'd love to see Fred Upton replaced by a good progressive, John Hoadley, in Michigan. So we got another one on the ballot there. That this could be a good race.
He's also a Blue America candidate.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So Arizona, it wasn't great news. What happened in Arizona?
Well, in the most important and the bluest county, Ava Putzova won. So she won Coconino County, which is the big enchilada there. However, all of the Republican counties, that are just red, all went for the blue dog incumbent, Tom O'Halloran.
Yeah,
and she did well. She did. For example, much better than Cori Bush did the first time that Cori Bush ran.
Okay.
And there's no reason to imagine that Ava is going away. She was a member of the Flagstaff City Council. She got a minimum wage bill passed, and then when the Koch brothers tried to repeal it, she beat them back with another referendum. She's very formidable. And she would make a great member of Congress. She was a Bernie-crat as well, and Bernie endorsed her. And she she didn't get the national prominence, unfortunately, that was due her. I mean, obviously Blue America endorsed her, but I didn't see other groups jumping in. It was, they didn't understand the district. It's not a district that's easy to understand because it's so gigantic. Hmm. It's bigger than lots of states. Wow. It takes up more than half of Arizona, and it includes suburbs of Phoenix and suburbs of Tucson. It includes the entire Navajo Nation.
Oh, wow.
And Flagstaff is the only real city in it, and she did really well there. Anyway, she hasn't said to me, yes, I am running again, but other than not saying it, she's running again.
Good. Okay. Well, it's still early. I mean, this just happened Tuesday. And Arizona's weird. I mean, it looks like Mark Kelly has a good shot at bringing down, who's the other senator, the Republican from Arizona?
McSally.
Oh, my God. Though Mark Kelly is not my first choice, I'd take him over Martha McSally any day of the week. But this will leave us with two kind of, I hate the word moderate, conservatives in the Senate. Well,
they're both very conservative. Yeah. He's not even really a Democrat. He just, is pretending to be a Democrat. She's, someone who's like mentally ill.
Kyrsten Sinema, right. The other
and he will be just like her. He will be another conservative Democrat, and he'll be a problem every step of the way.
Oy.
But that goes.
Right. Again.
That was
Chuck Schumer.
That was put together by Chuck Schumer.
Of course it was. Of course it was. So the other state that had a primary on Tuesday was Washington State. So what happened there?
Well, the only race that there was any, real chatter about was where was a district where Denny Heck, a conservative Democrat, had decided to retire. So good riddance to him.
Mm-hmm.
There was one progressive and a million others running. So the progressive is Beth Doglio, and that's spelled D-O-G-L-I-O.
Okay.
And then it's a top two jungle primary. Everybody is on the ballot,
right,
Republicans,
right.
Democrats, independents, everybody. And then there were, I don't know, a dozen or more people on the ballot. And then they take the top two, regardless of party,
yep.
And they're in the election on November. So she's one of the two. The other person, whose name I can't remember, I think it was Strickland, but I can't remember her name.
Marilyn Strickland, yes.
Marilyn, yes. She had been the mayor of Tacoma, I believe, and extremely conservative Democrat. And then when she left that, she went on to be a president of the Chamber of Commerce. She's just, the worst nightmare you can imagine. Extremely anti-union. This is a bad, bad, bad Democrat. And she has a chance to win. I mean, Beth is wonderful. The Congressional Progressive Caucus spent a large amount of money on behalf of Beth, and I have every reason to believe that they'll be spending a lot more for the general.
Okay, well, that's good. So we do have someone to root for, and if you're in Washington State, Beth Doglio, how do you pronounce it? Doglio?
I think the G is just silent.
Right,
so
Doglio.
I think you would say Doglio.
Doglio.
I mean, she said it to me on the phone, and I wasn't 100% sure of what she said, and I just was too eager to go on with my next question.
Gotcha.
So I didn't start with her about pronunciation of her name. I should have.
I understand. So, Howie Klein, so next Tuesday, we've still got a couple of weeks left of primaries.
Don't forget tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow or is it today? Tennessee is, I thought it was today.
Today, yes, today. I lost track of what
day
it is.
Yeah, Tennessee is voting today.
Tina Haynes.
Who's now up in Tennessee?
So there's a very, very conservative dynasty of Democratic politicians, extremely conservative, the Coopers. So it's the mayor of Nashville is Jim Cooper. His brother, I'm sorry, is a Cooper. His father was, I believe, governor, and his brother is Jim Cooper, a conservative. Now, Jim Cooper used to represent like a rural district where his kind of blue dog conservatism made some sense.
Mm.
I mean, not that I would ever support someone like that, but it can understand why someone like that was supported by the Democratic Party. But the type of conservatism that he is. I mean, he's so conservative the Republicans don't run candidates against him because they feel like he's just fine. They literally think he's just great.
Wow.
In fact, they have threatened that if he's defeated, that they're going to gerrymander the district out of existence.
Okay.
And we'll be talking about that in the future if he loses.
Okay.
So the and when I say the Republicans, I mean the Republican state legislature, which can do that. They control the state utterly and completely, and right. They have a Republican nitwit for governor, Bill Lee. In any case, the Democrat who's running, Keita Haynes, is one of the most inspiring Democrats that I've met this cycle. This is a utterly beautiful young woman who graduated from college and then almost immediately was arrested on some nonsensical trumped up charge and wound up spending years in jail in prison.
Wow.
Got out of prison and immediately went to law school and became an attorney and then became a public defender. Her story is so inspiring and amazing. I can't believe I didn't ask you to have her
right.
on the show.
Oh.
She's a fantastic person. And she's today's the day. If you know anybody in Davidson County at all, so not just Nashville, but the suburbs of Nashville, forget about contributions. It's too late for that.
Right. You need
just
to vote.
Whoever you know in the Nashville area and just beg them, promise them anything.
And what's her name? Keita Haynes?
Keita Haynes.
Keita Haynes. Okay. Nashville, Tennessee. Come on. Do it. There's a primary in Louisiana on Saturday, too. Is that anything? Is there anything happening there?
No.
No. Okay. And then next week, Tuesday, we have Connecticut, Georgia, Minnesota. We talked about South Dakota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. So it's another big day. Aside from Ilhan Omar, are there any other races we're looking at there?
Well, there's not much. There are state legislative races of some importance, certainly in Wisconsin, where Democrats have to make some progress or they're just going to be just screwed again and again. They have a really aggressively right-wing state legislature, and the state legislature just thwarts everything that the Democratic governor and attorney general and secretary of state try to do. And there are a number of really good progressive Democrats running for state Senate and running in the state legislature. And, it's going to make all the difference if we elect the right people in the primary. It's going to, that's what's going to determine what happens in November.
Right. Always. That's always the case.
We can learn from Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, right. I noticed real quickly, Howie, you gave a nod in your piece recounting what happened on Tuesday to this new swing state initiative, Vote Trump Out, which
I bet you love that one.
Oh, it was great. It was great. And, it's a lot of progressives are signed on to this. It's a new group. And basically what they're saying, and you wrote it, the campaign's mission statement is this: we are not going to minimize our disagreements with Joe Biden, but we're also clear-eyed about where things stand. Supporting the Democratic nominee in swing states is the only way to defeat Trump. If Biden wins, we'll be at his door on day one, demanding the kinds of structural reforms that advanced racial, economic, and environmental justice. This is a great way to put it. It's a great way to look at it. For those of us like me who are in a swing state, I'm in Florida, I have to vote for Joe Biden. And again, my vote is against Donald Trump and for some semblance of normalcy, for some return to just people who know what the hell they're doing, whether you agree with them or not. We can fight Joe Biden on what's right and what's not right, but there's no reasoning with an imbecile, and which is what we have now.
Right. This group was made for you.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine who formerly ran for Congress and was supported by Blue America when he did, Norman Solomon,
sure.
is the guy who's spearheading it. If you'd like, I'd be happy to introduce you.
Oh, I know Norman Solomon. Maybe I'll get him on the show next week.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get him on the show anytime. He doesn't need to be part of a show with me.
I'll have him on. I'll have him on.
He has a lot to say about the, I think he was on the platform committee. He was a Bernie delegate for the convention. Yeah, there's a lot you can talk with him about.
Oh, sure. No, I've known Norm for years, and I'm a fan of his. We had a little falling out a few years ago because I'm hot-headed sometimes, and I think I hung up on him one day. But
you?
But yes, me. But I apologized to him, and he said, no worries. So we're good. So I'll give him a call. Howie Klein, it is always a pleasure, especially when we have good news to share with the rest of the world falling apart around us. So at least we had a good day on Tuesday, and hopefully, you know, a few more good weeks ahead of us. As always, find Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com and throw a couple of bucks to the candidates at Blue America PAC, because we've got a few in the running for in November, and they could use your help, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Right. All right. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. And with that, we're done. Another day, another show. Tomorrow's Friday, and we will have the Midas Touch brothers, three brothers. It'll be fun. Talk to you then. Thanks, everyone. Bye.